Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like a dapper don,
giving them all
on,
dress
like a $1 million, diamond things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to me,
put
your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only. Uh-huh. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Yeah, you do. Steve Harvey got a radio show, but like I said the other day, you got something too, though, don't you? God done something wonderful for you. You just got to thank him for it. You know, in the midst of all that's going on in my life and in your life, you know, I always use myself as an example because, that way I guarantee 100% I know what I'm talking about. Here's the situation. You know, with everything that's going on in my life and all the things I'm asking God for, in the midst of a taxing and a very trying situation that's very challenging for me right now, man, God just keeps on surprising me. He keeps doing things. And I want you to look at your life for a second. Okay, let's do this. Let's make two columns here. Let's make a column of all the things you want from God. You know, just do that throughout the course of the day. You know, run down a list of all the things you're asking God for, all the things you're praying for, the things you aspire to, your dreams, your visions, whatever it is. Just make a column, a list of all those things. Let's make three lists. And then the second list, I want you to make a list of everything that you've been asking God for. So I guess that could be a little bit of the same. But this third list, I want you to do a checkoff point. I want you to make a list of everything that God has given you that you've asked him for. Just think about it like that for a second. I may be explaining a little wrong right now, but I'm going to pull it together for you. Make a list of everything you're asking God for. Just list it. You know, it's okay. It's a dream board. You can call it that. I got one. It's a vision board. You know, everybody's got something you hope for. Make a list. Now, I want you to make another list of everything you've asked God for that he's given you already. See, this is a good list because sometimes, and what I've been guilty of, and maybe you too, In my request list on my dream board, I keep focusing so hard sometimes on what I'm yet to receive. I keep focusing so hard on what I hope he gives me. I keep focusing so hard on the things that are yet not fulfilled in my life that sometimes as he starts checking off my wish list, the things I've asked for in the past that have come to pass that he's given me, I sometimes, in praying for what I want, forget to thank him for what he's done for me. And I'm currently in the middle of that situation. And this morning when I woke up, I just got on my knees this morning and I quit tripping for a second. I said, man, hey, God, you know what? I really do need all them things I'm asking for. And I really am believing that you're going to give it to me. But in the meantime, though, man, have I overlooked some important details here? I had to really look at what he's done for me. I mean, look, man, take yourself out of it personally and look. Well, you can leave yourself in it however you want to be. Some people can't do that. So just leave yourself in it then. But, man, I started looking at the I part of me, and I started looking around at the what's happening overall. Like, man, he has kept my family together. In spite of the attempts to tear it apart, I look at all of that. I look at how he's blessing my children with the desires of their heart, which I pray for my kids. You know, I want my kids to have a better life than I've had. I really, really do. I don't want them to take as long as it took me to get it together. I really, really don't. I'm trying to say, hey, man, if you go to college, this is what you can be. Don't do like your father did. Don't go 3 years, drop out, throw yourself into a spiral, and then got to start scratch all over again. You know, and for the most part, so far, you know, they're doing quite well of it. You know, they're getting kicked around a little bit, but that's life. I started thinking of the blessings that he's helped me overcome with some of the previous mistakes I've made in relationships in my life. And then I started looking about the things he's blessed me with that I've been asking him for. But since I've moved on from it, I forgot to keep thanking him, because I got to always thank God for a roof over my head. Because guess what? When I was asking for the roof and I didn't really have it, then he gave me one. Now, since he gave it to me, what, I'm just cool now? I can't ever go back to him and go, hey, man, I really do appreciate this roof over my head. Because there was a time when I was living in a car. But see, so every morning I wake up, I got to remember the fact that I have a home now. Because I got to look back and go, man, that was time, Steve, when you didn't have no home. But see, we forget what God has done for us, because in our column, the want column, the need column, we oftentimes forget for the columns and the check marks that he's already fulfilled in our life. You've got to take inventory every now and then, daily if possible. But I know we humans, we're not going to do that. I don't. But you've got to take inventory of your life to say, hey, what has God done for me? Because, man, you're overlooking as he's doing these wonderful things for you, because there's so much on the yet to be fulfilled, I don't have part of your life. You forget that section. And, man, how crazy is that? That of all God has done for me, that I keep wanting so many more things, needing so many more things, hoping so many things come to pass and get fulfilled, I forget to check off the list and take inventory. Today, take inventory of your life. You will find out that God is watching you, that he is really, really watching over you in spite of yourself, in spite of your shortcomings, because we all got them. Please know I do. You know, and remember something else, too. Change is good, but change is challenging. Accept the challenge that it is. Look, a lot of you come up to me all the time and say, Steve, man, thank you, man. Boy, you in the morning, man, I really be needing that. Well, like I done said it 100 times, but I'm going to say it again. Y'all, I be needing it too. You know, you understand? Sometimes what God is dealing with me is for me. But now I'm in a sharing position where I can open up. And if I just quit being so about me and become a little bit more transparent, I can, maybe some of me that's happening to me is happening to you, and you could see some of this in me. That's why I use myself as an example, because, man, I'm catching it too. Y'all, I ain't perfect either. So for those of you that come up to me and say that, I want you to understand these talks in the morning, man, this is important for me, because, man, I need these conversations from God. I need God to continue to strengthen me, to show me the way, to help me understand what's happening to me. And see, as we've all, those of you who have made the decision to change, to become a better person, a better woman, a better boy, a better girl, a better man, for those of you who've made the decision to change is a challenge. And accept the challenge, because it's going to come. Because right out of that, here come the haters. Here they come. People you don't even know. Discussing your life and your change. If God see you really, really mean what you say, in spite of what they say about you, God will raise you above the fray. He'll keep promoting you. He'll keep blessing you. He'll keep moving you up. He will use you as a show-off point. He'll show you off, man. He'll make you look good to people, man, who wish you'd fall all day long. And so to all your haters will end up just watching you rise, man. They will watch you continue to grow. That's what God will do for you, man. You can fool the world, but you can't fool God. God know your heart. He know your every thought, man. So change is good, but change is a challenge. Accept the challenge. Expect the haters. Expect the unnecessary. But God will strengthen you and get you through it all, man. Y'all doing swell this morning, man. Don't let nobody make you think you are. Keep talking to God, all right?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Woo-hoo!
People all around the world.
Come on now.
You are listening. Mm-hmm. To the baddest morning show on planet Earth.
Watch it, sucker.
See right there, for no reason at all, just stuff come out. Just all of a sudden, where did Aunt Esther come
from?
I
know. Just no reason.
Ladies and gentlemen, this show is dedicated to crossing guards.
Yes.
Man.
All around
like
the
them.
World, who never get a hand clap. The people that stand up in the middle of traffic and stop traffic.
Do they still have those?
The ones that so your dumb ass child can cross the street.
Steve,
these people that not once a day, but twice a day, going and coming. So right, your Mercury. Child won't pay attention while he crossing the street.
You ain't
That's
taught him
what
nothing.
They out there for. Rain, sleet, or snow. They don't even go to the bathroom.
No.
We salute all of the crossing
Crossing guard. Man.
Because don't nobody never mention them.
They don't
crossing
never get
guard.
No,
didn't
right
you
want to
didn't you wanna be one, though, when you was in school? Didn't you want to hold up?
Yeah, I was a guard. You know, we had flag duty. You had to have a flag and be a guard. And you opened the flag for the kids to go cross the street.
Oh, that was an important job back
then.
Yes,
back then?
Yeah.
What?
I had that job while I studied.
So many How'd that work out?
Come on this way now.
This by the time I said stop, they were damn near halfway.
So many kids got hit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had seven
kids get hit on my block.
Damn. I ain't know.
Mommy, we don't want to go this way.
You shut up. Come on. Here.
No, Mommy, we're always late for school.
Here come a...
Hey, man, then I broke my guard stick.
But then a car passed.
I broke my guard stick on Larry Singleton's head because he was the bully that used to beat us up all the time.
Aw.
And just one day, man, I just got tired of it. He was just standing there just mocking me.
Cracked
him. This is stupid. This, Steve.
What?
Aw. I was just standing there talking about it. Well, I said, well, I wonder how stupid I'm going to be if I bust you across your head with the damn guard stick.
Whoa.
Split it in half.
Wow, I love, man.
I got suspended for that.
I bet you did.
Which was, like, really cool. I ain't had to go up there for 3 days. I thought that was
Did you have to fight him again?
Oh, yeah, y'all. Yeah. Oh, he whooped my ass.
How much bigger was he than you?
Oh, Larry was huge. Larry, hey, man, we were 9. He looked like he was 15.
But Greg, you won that day, though.
Dumbass boy.
But great big old in front.
No, great big old dumbass boy. Man, he was so damn stupid, man. He had big ass teeth.
Yeah.
Big back. He was muscular.
What grade was
That's
this?
A man child, 6.
So he looked like he was like in the ninth.
Like yeah, like he was in high school like a junior.
He could have went to high school and played.
Like a junior.
But he was older than us because he got put kept
he got
back
put
twice.
Back. He was done for it.
So now he in the 6th grade just looking air bitter 11th grade.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, 30-something funny is coming up. And I'm going to rename this segment.
Yeah.
Please come on in. Don't go nowhere. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to have the word funny in it, but it ain't going to be the same. Come on back.
We'll be back at 32 after
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. The word funny is in it.
The word,
but
yeah.
What, Steve?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new segment that I created just for today. This is because of the Kyrie Irving trade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
So instead of 30-something funny, this is sugar honey iced tea that ain't funny at all. This is the sugar honey iced tea segment that ain't funny at all.
I love
it. Let's go.
I'm from Cleveland. Kyrie Irving was traded to the Boston Celtics for Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. Got a first round pick.
And a first round pick.
Brooklyn.
Don't worry about Zizek. We don't even know about
him. Yeah, Zizek. That's what I'm
thinking.
Don't
worry about him. Don't worry about him.
Oh, they just threw that in. They just
don't. I don't even know.
We just throw another body over there.
I can't say we got him because I don't even know him. Zizek must have played on the Israeli team and just got out, and he's actually an immigrant. From parts unknown. We have no idea who he is, what he do. We don't even know if he'll never score.
We don't know nobody.
But he sound like he be. Busy ass.
By scored, you mean scored.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
thank
what?
I'm just clarifying.
What, Shelby?
No.
What did you think I'm talking about?
I'm just saying.
About basketball. I don't know if he averaging 2 points. I don't know if he done hit a basket.
Point
but he sound like he slow. He sounds slow. Zizek don't sound like who you know. Zizek sound like he got speed. His name ain't Zigzag. His name is Zizek.
Okay.
And you reverse that. He act like he goes zigzag.
So what you think? You think this good?
Well, here's the problem with the trade. First of all, Boston did win the East,
right?
Last year
because of that point guard.
Because of Isaiah.
Right.
Isaiah was the man on that team. When it got down to the playoffs, they doubled Isaiah because they didn't have another star scorer. So now Kyrie Irving's wish to be on the team and be the man has come true.
Yeah.
He is going to be the man in Boston.
Okay.
But the problem with this is Kyrie will not be as good in Boston as he was in Cleveland because all of the emphasis goes to LeBron. Where is he on the floor? What is he doing? And it made Kyrie a better player. Now, Kyrie is a great basketball player.
Yeah, he's good.
But going to Boston, the same thing going to happen to him that happened to Isaiah when they got to the playoffs. They're going to double him up because he doesn't have another star player on the team.
Nobody.
So now you're going to be the man, but now the first game of the new season is Boston versus Cavs.
Golly.
And now you have a new problem. Kyrie got his wish to be traded. Isaiah didn't want to be traded. Boston, after this kid plays, after his sister passes, puts his heart and soul on the line for Boston, and then they trade him. You have now sent a player to your rival who has an attitude, a chip on his shoulder. So now you traded me.
And that's not the place to have.
No, man. When I didn't want to be traded, and you send me to the Cavaliers, who is our rival, and now we're going to face y'all to see who win the East, that guy going to be playing with another piece of information. And now he's playing with the greatest player on the planet, LeBron James.
Question, Steve. Hasn't LeBron, like, open arms welcomed him in?
Absolutely.
And the Cavs, which is a good thing,
they
right?
could not have made that trade without talking to LeBron. That's the only way that trade could happen. You got to go to your star and go, hey, man, we're going to give up Kyrie, but we're going to bring in Isaiah. Can you play with Isaiah? Oh, hell.
Won't to.
And they get Crowder, who is an animal
on defense.
Man. Oh, he
Boy, man.
So now we got some more people that can check somebody at Golden State. Now, is it going to help? I don't know.
But Golden State
is ugly, man.
Let's be honest, though. Cleveland walked away slick on this deal right here. They know they got the first. I mean, you get Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, and a first round.
And Zizuda, what's his name?
Zippolo. Cause see when Ziploc come in.
Ziploc.
As soon as we find out who the hell Ziploc is, we gonna gonna have something to talk about during the show. So now, here's the other point I want to make about the Kyrie Irving trade.
Because you have a lot of points.
Here's the other point.
Yeah.
I feel for Kyrie because I understand that he wants to be the man. Mm-hmm. But you got a lot of people in your ear talking about, man, you the real star on that team, man. They, all the credit go LeBron, you don't get none. Man, you ought to go somewhere. Your option up. Man, y'all demand a trade so you can go be the man. Because you think you here. Everybody want to go be Russell or Westbrook. But you can't be Westbrook because, number one, you ain't finna do all what Russell do.
No, that's a gazelle.
What about teamwork, though? I mean, yeah. Well,
Russell is the team.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Kyrie.
But you can't win a championship with one player.
Yeah, you need a team. Yeah, even Michael Jordan knew that.
Why would you leave a team that's been to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row? Yeah,
absolutely.
And now what's going to happen to the Cavaliers? Another opinion of mine.
Because you're Cleveland.
Well, this is you Cleveland all the way.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Here's another opinion of mine. The Cavaliers now have infused and injected new blood, new energy into the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of that same team,
mm-mm,
they got a little bit extra now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, and something can go down. And I think the Cavaliers came out on top on this deal.
Oh, they walked away.
I think LeBron is happy on this deal.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Kyrie is happy on this deal.
What about Ziploc?
Ziploc is ecstatic that anybody is even mentioning his name.
I don't even know who he is, but I bet you his hair got a cow lick in the front. He got to.
Ziploc.
His name like Ziploc?
Let me pull him up. Let me see this kid.
Ziploc.
His name is not Ziploc.
Right, what's his name, Carl?
I don't know, but it ain't Ziploc. It was Ziploc.
Listen to me.
Wait a minute.
All you got to do is put in Z, NBA player. How many you think coming up?
Him.
Zizak,
Zuzo.
Man, when black folks name you, that's it. Y'all, that's your name. Ziploc.
Is this about Ziploc or Kyrie?
Oh, it turned.
All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news and headlines. But before we get to all of that, the nephew, it's your time to run that prank back. What you got?
I got it for you. It's FPC.
And what is that again?
FPC.
I know what the initials.
We heard.
I know.
You.
I heard that.
Funeral
part.
Picture Company.
What is that? What is your tone?
Everybody got to have a picture when they die. You pick it out early is what you do. Hit it.
Hello?
Hello. I'm trying to reach a Darwin. Darwin.
This is he.
Hey, Darwin. How you doing? This is Frank with FPC. We're trying to come down and see about making an appointment with you within the next week, if that's possible.
Appointment for what, there?
We're supposed to come by. I'm with FPC. We wanted to. We have
FPC,
you on file.
What is that? What is FPC?
Sir, your name was left with us, and you're on our file to actually come out and make an appointment with you, so we can. So we can get your picture taken.
You must have the wrong number. I'm not signed up to take no picture or anything, sir.
Okay, well, you're Darwin, correct?
Yeah, yes, I am Darwin, and you call Darwin, and that's who you call it. But anything about a picture, what's up with a picture?
We've got you on our schedule here, FPC. We have you on our schedule for us to come out to your home and take your picture.
Okay, FPC, which company is that? What type of picture would I be taking? I'm not taking no picture, but what is FPC?
Okay, you don't know anything about a photo being taken of you? Taken?
No.
Okay. Sir, FPC is, this is a funeral picture company.
Who?
Funeral picture company. And what we do is we come out and take your picture, and we actually keep it on file. That way, when you do pass away, we have your picture for your program, and we have a nice picture for you.
Oh, man, dude, look, I'm not dead right now. You're not taking no picture of me. Who is this again?
My name is Frank. Frank.
Oh, okay, Frank, you mean to tell me y'all taking pictures of people before they die just so you could have their picture on file?
So we keep it on file, and then you have a good picture on your program, and that's what we do.
Like some I ain't signed up for nothing like that. Who the hell signed me up for some like that?
I'm not quite sure, but we're trying to schedule where we can come out beginning of next week so we can get your picture taken.
Next week, week after, you get a picture when I'm dead. You're not taking no picture of me before I die. That don't sound right.
Sir, don't you want to have a good picture on your program?
Sir, you're not taking no picture of me for no funeral arrangements that I'm not dead yet. I don't understand that. What the hell is this about? Nobody, who signed me up for it then? Tell me that much.
Sir, I don't have the actual person listed here on who signed you up, but I do have the number, and you are Darwin, Mr. Darwin, so...
I didn't sign up for it, and I'm not taking no picture. You guys run around taking pictures of people before they die just to have a good picture on file? That sounds like some man. I ain't never heard of no like that, sir.
Okay, sir, are you, I mean, we have your address here. Are you available?
I'm not available at all to take no picture for a funeral. That I'm not even dead yet. I don't get that. That sounds like a bunch of who the hell gave you my number? That's what I want to know.
Sir, I'm not quite sure, but one thing we have to do is we have to follow through with our job. So what we're going to have to do is I have to come out there and take a picture.
I don't want to
create a problem, but I have to get a picture of you by next week.
Oh, it's going to be a problem because you're not getting no picture of me for no funeral arrangement.
Mr. Darwin, I have to come by your house at least by Friday at around 12 noon. I'll come by and get a picture.
Friday? You ain't coming by my goddamn house no Friday. You gonna lie. I be come over here to try to get my picture. I got plenty of goddamn pictures in my house to put on the funeral program. I'm not taking no picture. That means I'm claiming to be dead. I'm not dead. That's some old bad luck got there. I don't know who the you work for, Frank, but you got that.
I work for FPC, sir. I work for FPC.
FCC, my you ain't not taking no picture of me. Don't come over here Friday talking about no goddamn pistol.
Okay,
you better bring your goddamn pistol, and I hope they got your goddamn picture on file. But that's a stupid goddamn company you work for. I ain't never heard of nobody taking no picture before they die. I got millions of pictures in here for that program. And when I'm gone, what the I care about what a picture look like or who had my goddamn funeral. This will make me you tell whoever the you work for, they need to go find another occupation. That don't make no goddamn sense. You're not coming over here Friday, buddy. You come over here if you want to.
Okay, Mr. Darwin.
Yes.
Are you familiar with Glenda?
That's my wife. What the you about to say now?
All I want to do is say this, man. I just want to say Glenda the one that got me to prank phone call you. This is Nephew Tommy, baby, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, huh?
I'll be a boy. Oh, boy, y'all done lost your head. Look, I ain't never heard of no business like this. Some FPC funeral picture taking. Well, man, I said my New Year's resolution, I was going to cut back on drinking, but you got me over here about to tip a bottle right now. Boy, Nephew, you crazy. Oh, you crazy, man. Hey, come over here today about 4 and get a picture of Glenda. You come take a picture. Y'all got me, baby. You got me, baby.
I got you, man. You got,
oh, man, I ain't never heard of no company like that.
Hey, your wife put me up to it, man. I tell you what, you tune in tomorrow morning, man. You're going to catch yourself on national radio.
I'm going to tell everybody. Boy, they had me hot over here. I'm going to, don't tell Glenda, but I'm going to have me a drink anyway. I was looking for an excuse to drink. That right there, a funeral picture taken to put on file. Boy, y'all done lost a half a mind y'all had with that and that, buddy.
Hey, man, I got to ask you something, man. Darwin, tell me this here, man. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Wake Up Show, buddy.
I don't care which one you use.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're dead. Who cares?
You can use a baby picture if you want to.
Them obituary pictures, they always...
I'm talking about a naked-ass baby picture. Legs wide.
Sunrise, sunset.
Yeah, show that one. Show me. I got one. My mom, they took me. I mooned everybody. Didn't know it. I was
you
ass
use
naked,
that one.
And I was bending over picking up a toy.
Which one you got, Junior?
Well, I got the one with the sailor suit.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I can't stand that picture.
That's the one
why.
You want?
Use that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It don't matter.
I got enough problems. I'm dead.
I got the one with them little white shoes on. Remember them little white shoes?
Man, I got this. I got. Let me explain something. When I die, I got to get my court case together
So when I go before the Lord, I'm be working on my case. I ain't got time to be worrying about no pictures.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta go out there and plead my case.
Lord, is that you?
Yeah. And you know what you can't do, see, because you don't get an attorney at the pearly gates. I got to go up in there, man. I got hands going to be sweating.
Hey.
I got to explain a couple things.
It's
well,
me.
You made me, Lord. You made me.
But your introduction going to be the same one you did down here on earth.
Hey, yeah. I'm going to bring that tape. I'm opening with that.
Did you see this, Lord? Remember when I did this?
Yes. You, Lord, weren't you proud of your son back then?
Play it again.
Lord, this is me at Mega Fest.
Yeah.
And play the introduction.
Yeah, play that
Christ.
Introduction right
now.
There.
Then I'd like to show you, Heavenly Father, if you don't mind. If you don't mind, just as a, and I know you don't need reminding because you know all things, but just for those people that Peter and them, you know, I'd like to show you my work with Disney Dreamers Academy.
The baby.
The mentoring camp.
Helping
mentoring
your children, camp, helping your babies.
Work. Here is a number of children I've sent to college that ain't mine.
But you holding up the line. Everybody wants you to move on.
All right, Miss Anna's coming up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Miss Anna standing by with today's headlines. President Donald Trump, every day he's in the news, right? He was involved in a drug bust in Germany last weekend.
What?
Uh-huh.
Who?
You heard me.
Who?
President Trump was involved in a drug bust in Germany last weekend. Police there pulled over a vehicle for a random traffic stop, and a subsequent search of the vehicle uncovered a stash of Trump-shaped ecstasy pills.
People getting high off Trump.
So he was involved in a drug bust. That's where that came in. Each of the 5,000 orange tablets were pressed into the shape of the president's face and head, and the name Trump appears on the back. The seized stash carries a street value of around $46,000. Police arrested the 51-year-old driver and his 17-year-old son, who also was in the car.
Let me explain something. Wow. That 17-year-old boy going to get his ass stomped at the house.
Yeah.
Because 51-year-old daddy, he probably ain't know nothing about this. Ecstasy?
Mm-mm. But in the shape of the president's face
and his head.
But they orange.
Is it orange?
They orange.
The only 50-year-old man that would participate in a crime like that is O.J. Most 50-year-old people run it by other 50-year-olds. Uh-huh. And somebody go, man, what?
This is a great idea.
No, we're it ain't, dumb.
Make these ecstasy pills. We're going to shape them in the like Donald Trump's face and his head. It's going to be orange. This is going to be great.
Boy, but that 17-year-old, he done told his daddy they was multiple vitamins.
Like the Flintstones?
Yeah.
The Flintstones.
Flintstone. Except they were Trump stones.
Hey, get your Trump butt stomped.
And boy, that dog sniffed him, found out they were that 17-year-old boy's at the house, man.
Why do you think it's the son? You don't think the daddy?
The daddy.
It's 17-year-old boy.
You don't think so?
No, it's 17-year-old
with
boy.
It's a kid.
Yeah.
This kid. Is a heck of a headline, though, President
Donald Trump. Most baby boomers scared of ecstasy.
Yeah, they don't even know what it is, really.
Ecstasy
and
meth.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I don't even know what it looked like.
What?
No.
Ecstasy or meth? I don't know.
Like, I just told you it's shaped like Donald Trump's face and his head. It's orange.
There it is. Look. Oh, no.
That's a heck of a headline. President Donald Trump involved in a drug bust.
That's
in
X
Germany.
Right there?
That's crazy.
Okay, you got to swallow something like that.
Oh, wow.
That looks like a Fruity Pebbles or something.
It looks like a Flintstone,
though. Yeah, it does.
It really looks like a cookie.
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Street value, like I said, around $46,000. Wow.
Were you?
Just putting a question up.
Decided to censor yourself?
Just put it in a question.
It's a good thing.
Bring it back. Take a shot of water and think about it again.
I don't know what y'all talking about.
Please.
On another note, President Barack Obama and Michelle moved their daughter Malia into her dorm at Harvard University yesterday. It was the official move-in day for first-year students. The Boston Globe tried to get a quote from the first daughter, but Malia wasn't talking. Twitter went berserk as other first-year students tweeted their Malia sightings. Malia took a gap year after high school, you know, opting to spend her time interning on movie sets. So now she's in school at Harvard. She got her dorm
Damn,
and everything.
Harvard.
Yeah. Harvard, yeah.
Where are you getting Harvard?
My parents went to Harvard, too.
What a legacy there. You still got to get the grade.
Yeah. You got to make the cut
now. You do.
Yeah. And she took a whole year off. I love that. Yeah.
I had to get in a special affirmative action program. That's how I got for real.
Well, that's all right. That's what they were designed for. That's all right.
I never went to college if it wasn't for affirmative action. They had to put some black students down at Kent State because all the blacks left after the shooting in 70. You notice, did no blacks get shot in 1970 at Kent State? Because the Black United Student Organization told all blacks to go home, the National Guard coming. Because they said, you know what, we down here, who getting shot? We going to the house.
Wow. All right.
Sad for the four that got shot.
Very sad.
Very sad.
Introduce Miss Ann now.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here. The one and only, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Okay, everyone out there. Several U.S. Army drill sergeants have reportedly been suspended at Fort Benning, Georgia, accused of sexual assault and misconduct during basic training. Reports are that after one female trainee accused one drill sergeant of sexual assault, that several other complaints came in from trainees about the same thing for other drill sergeants. The Army's not saying how many of these drill sergeants have been suspended, but they do say they're offering counseling to the alleged victims. Meanwhile, President Trump took his campaign rally machine to Reno, Nevada, yesterday, where he spoke before this year's American Legion convention.
History and culture, so important. For generations now, the American Legion has taught our young people the principles of Americanism. You emphasize the need to preserve the nation's cultural, moral, and patriotic values. You encourage the observation of patriotic holidays. You stress the need to enforce our laws, including our immigration laws.
By the way, the president signed a bill into law yesterday designed to speed up the appeals process where it concerns veterans' benefits. The publisher of the neo-Nazi website, The Daily Stormer, says he's basically been banned from the entire internet. Andrew England says to the Associated Press that both GoDaddy and Google kicked his site off. Meanwhile, residents in Charlottesville, Virginia, still upset over the way racial violence occurred there weekend before last, bringing a city council meeting to a halt. Community activists demand to know why the police didn't provide more protection. John Gathers is from the local Black Lives Matter chapter.
Somebody's got to be held accountable for not only the blood of those three lives, but for every injury that happened this past weekend.
That's right.
Amen. And I will be damned if I see another one of my brothers or sisters get beaten or die.
A pending lawsuit currently prevents the removal of that city's Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson statues, but the city council voted to cover them with reams and reams of black plastic. Folks in Texas preparing for Tropical Storm Harvey. Harvey expected to strengthen the hurricane status tomorrow. One person won the $750 million lottery last night, the person from Watertown, Massachusetts, and not related to me. And today is Let's Get It Crackin' Day. That's right. You got to do something. Get it going, baby. This has been Ann Tripp. We'll be back with Eugene the Butterfly. 20 minutes after the hour, stay tuned to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Please introduce the butterfly and try to, you know.
And I have an idea for his segment.
Oh, you do? Well, try to have some energy and introduce him
ladies
nicely.
Ladies and gentlemen, a segment that I've created for Eugene.
Oh.
It's called...
Maybe he's open to the suggestion. Be nice.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Ladies
and
gentlemen.
But you sound good. I like the way you sound.
Good morning, everyone. Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carla Jr. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hey, Butterfly.
Hey, Shirley. Hey, Jr.
That was a good intro from Steve, huh?
It was not bad.
Yeah.
It was
that
not
was
bad.
Nice.
Good morning, Carla.
Hey, Butterfly.
Thomas Miles. Good morning.
All right, man. What's up?
Hey, Eugene.
Yes, Stephen.
How are you today?
We're good. I hope me and you are good. Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have something I want to do today. Could you turn your mic to you, please?
Hello?
But I had something.
I don't care what you have.
I had something scheduled.
I brought a therapist in today.
You brought a therapist in?
This is Dr. Barnes. Dr. Barnes?
Yes.
Now, please. Now, we got therapy. I bought in myself.
But,
okay. Oh, this is a therapist you know.
Yeah, I don't use her.
Hi, Miss Barnes. Dr. Barnes, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Very. Where are you from?
Eugene, I'm from Mississippi. Where are you from?
I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, the Bay Area. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, does she not like me already?
Yeah, she loves you. That's just how she is.
Dr. Barnes, I don't know if he brought you up to speed, but he and I have been going through this for the last... umpteen years, And is there anything that you can maybe do to get our relationship on track? Because right now we're just not good. We can't seem to work good together.
Well, let me ask you this: does your paycheck come on time?
Yes, it does.
Are you satisfied with what you're making? Can you get all of your feather boas? Because I heard you like those.
She's not on my side.
Yes, she is. She's digging deep into your past.
Yes, all my feather boas, yes.
Go ahead,
Doc. Have you been known to have an attitude problem over the years with several members of the cast?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now she going to work.
Mm-hmm. Have I? Okay. I haven't had it.
Huh? Eugene, we need to speak in complete sentences.
Is this your mama too?
She got 2 degrees.
I haven't had any problems with the rest of the cast. I've had problems.
Eugene, you do have an emotional problem.
I'm not.
We need to delve into your emotions.
I'm not being emotional.
Well, how are your coping skills? How are your coping skills?
Coping? I'm coping very well.
I understand this village you hang in. Do they allow you to cry when you don't get your way?
My village takes care of me.
Your
village.
Voice is trembling.
No. So is yours. Why sure it sound the same? They both sound like they're going to cry.
What did you say? This is the therapist that's telling you to stay out there before you get bought into this.
Next week we'll be working on the bougie co-host on the show.
We're working on what?
The bougie co-host on the show.
We gotta go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll be working on the bougie co-host on this show. Cool. This a therapist now. We'll be back. You shut up, Chad. Your bougie behind.
We'll be back. Oh, my God.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Here we are with Steve. You have some more, you said.
Yeah, this is goes in line with our 30-something funny segment.
Earlier today.
But I renamed it today. This is Sugar Honey Iced Tea that ain't really that damn funny to me.
And this time you want to talk about Bakari Sellers, something Bakari Sellers said. Bakari Sellers, in case you don't know, is a CNN contributor. He's a politician. He's an attorney. And he said something a couple of nights ago after the president's speech, or after his rally, I should say, in Phoenix, Arizona. And you kind of want to take him to task about that, huh, Steve? Because he brought your name up. He had your name in his mouth. Yeah.
First of all, I like Bakari Sellers.
Oh, I love him.
I think he does very excellent bright. Work on CNN.
Yes, he does.
I've had him on my talk show.
Okay.
Love him.
The only problem I have with Bakari Sellers is the comment he made about me the other night on CNN, which is unfair. Mm-hmm. He said, where are the Jim Browns, the Kanye West, the...
Steve Harvey's.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't they taking Donald Trump to task? Mm-hmm. Now, my problem with what you're saying, brother, is because I went up there under the request of the Obama transition team and the Trump transition team. I was asked to come up there. Now, you're asking me to take him to task. For what? What you want me to do? You the elected official. Y'all take him to task. Yeah. I didn't vote for him. Mm-hmm. I pushed very hard to try to get Hillary Clinton elected. Absolutely. Everybody heard
me
for
a year. You did that.
So what? I went up there. Yeah. And looking back on it, I wish I had said, hey, y'all, I'm going up there to see the president. But I didn't know at the time that I would get that type of backlash. But I did. I'm a man. I stood up to it. But all of you jumping on the bandwagon, because it's trending and it sounds popular. See, Bakari, here's the deal. Do what you do, dog. But don't take me to task while I got to take Donald Trump to task. Hell, his kids can't take him to task. Damn, can't nobody. He got a wife.
Yeah.
He got a wife and some kids. He got a whole cabinet. Can't nobody get him to do nothing. Why you want Steve to come up there? I ain't no damn politician. You are an elected official. You take his ass to task. I want to see you do it. Now, you're sitting up on CNN every now and then talking about him, but it's cool, man. You can talk about him, bro. But what you want me to do? What you want Steve to do? What you want old-ass Jim Brown to do?
Don't say that.
No, really, man.
What was you doing when you heard your name? Come on.
No, I was sitting there. I was eating. You
had no idea your name was about to fly.
Hold up, you know what Jim Brown done for the movement?
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Dog, I'm 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know what?
The mayor I can.
It just throws me off, man. Look, I'm 60, partner. I done more than you fitting to ever do for black folk.
Right.
I'm going to say that out loud, Bakari Sellers. You ain't done for black folk what I done.
You ain't put the money behind black folk for what I done done. I promise you, you haven't. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, man, I like you, and I'm still going. I had you on my talk show, and I still have you on my show. But be careful when you talk about another brother, man, because I'm tired of people. See, I wouldn't give a damn about this if this was a blog.
Mm-hmm.
But you said it on CNN.
And that's the very reason, Steve. Do you understand he said your name on CNN after the president's speech? That's how big you are, okay? That's how you have to look at that, too. You are major. You're a major force in the community, in America, even in politics because of your visit there.
I don't
want
to be responsible for this man's speech.
No.
All this crazy ass stuff.
I get that.
You mean the president.
I get that, Steve, but I'm just saying.
What I got to do with it?
The fact that your name was mentioned means you're big. Yeah, you're big right now.
We know he's that big. Yeah. But
okay, then since I'm big, Bakari, just stop talking about me like this, man. I don't want to be responsible for taking the president to task. His kids can't do nothing with it. I ain't got his number or nothing. The Senate can't do nothing with it. The House can't. The rest of the Republicans can't do nothing with it. Why are you bringing up Steve and Jim Brown name? What you want the two old black dudes to do?
He fired his whole cabinet. Yes.
Banyan can't do nothing with him. Comey can't do nothing with him. This is the sugar, honey, iced tea I'm talking about.
All right, we'll be back with the nephew's prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter. But first, nephew, it's time for today's prank phone call. What do you have?
Your baby going back to pre-K.
Huh?
Your baby going back to pre-K.
I like that.
He's so aggressive.
Your baby going back to pre-K.
What do you have to do with that?
Your baby can't color. Y'all hold tight. Here it comes.
Hello.
Yes, I'm trying to reach Ms. Thomas, please.
This is Ms. Thomas. Who is it?
My name is Mr. Stapleton. I'm actually the principal over at elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my records indicating that your son, Thomas, is going to be starting his first grade.
Mm-hmm. He's ready. My baby's ready.
Right. Listen, Ms. Thomas, I've been going through actually all of the children's records that will be starting school, and I'm looking at your son's grades.
Mm-hmm.
From his kindergarten year.
Mm-hmm. And he did good. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, not exactly. I mean, there's been a few. I actually spoke with the teacher who he was under in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he just really wasn't up to par as the rest of the children.
Mm-mm. Now, his conduct. Now, he talks, but he gets his work. So what else is she saying on that ain't right?
Well, what it seems to be, ma'am, is that his grades weren't up to par as the rest of the other children. She did tell me he was a disobedient child.
No, he's disobedient and talking two different things. Come on.
Okay. Well, ma'am, listen, what we've decided here is we're going to let little actually do another year of kindergarten.
Oh, no, y'all ain't going to let him do another year of kindergarten. No, sir.
Ma'am, that's the only choice I have.
Sorry.
After looking.
No, we got our letter in the mail with our report card the week after school started, and it said on the back, promoted. And if I got to get up off this couch and go get it, I'm going to be f***ed off. Because I'm telling you right now, we will be in the first grade. Kindergarten wasn't that hard. I'm not sure what they told you about him, but it must be the wrong
Well,
is that
ma'am, my understanding, he doesn't color as well as the rest of the kids. He's all
color.
Out of it. He's out of the lines when he colors. He doesn't know his numbers completely. And that's kind of what we need when you first come into the first grade.
No, what I can show you on this paper, he did satisfactory all the way through. Now, you about to me off, and I'm already sick calling me with some about my son flunking kindergarten. He ain't that kind of
He
dumb.
Does
you
not
must...
color well, ma'am.
Listen, color ain't got nothing to do with the daggum kindergarten. He is going to the first grade, and I'll be down there on August 24th.
I will not be able to allow you
I'm
to get
sorry.
In the school
I'm
on
sorry.
August 24th.
I'm sorry, mister. I'm sorry. And let me go in and get my pencil and pen, because I don't live that far from this school. And if y'all already down there causing some conflict, I need to get up and go down there, because I'm not telling my baby when he come home today that he ain't going to the daggum first
ma'am,
grade.
Ma'am, I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to refuse education
Listen,
from him on
I'm
August
sorry.
24th.
You know what? I just went back and put him in public school. I know that was a mistake in the first place. Fooling with y'all talking about some coloring. Give me your name again, sir.
Stapleton, ma'am.
And what's that number down there?
The number here is actually area code.
Wait a minute. I got the number. Never mind. I pulled up this report card. I got the number and your name on the back of this paper. I tell you what, August 24th, we'll be coming in there going to school, and I might make a trip around there this evening when I come from the doctor.
Ma'am,
to make sure that
the
you
bottom
don't
line,
like
ma'am,
stuff.
Is I'm not
I don't
going
to hear that. Colin ain't got nothing to do with nothing else. But it's paper.
It's
I'm
not
sorry.
Only coloring. His arithmetic is
I'm
bad.
Sorry. No,
Are you working with him at home?
No,
are you doing anything as a parent?
I work with my son at home every day. What you trying to say? I'm an incompetent parent?
I'm just asking, as a parent, are you working with your child?
Yes, I'm working with my child every day. He can read better than you, probably.
No, he can't read better. I'm
oh,
the
yes,
principal.
He can read better than you because obviously you read that wrong on that paper that he's supposed to be going back to kindergarten when I know the paper said from his going to the first grade. And I'm not listening to no more of this about him going backwards. Now, if you got a problem with your paperwork, maybe you need to go talk to your secretary or somebody in there that wrote my baby name down.
Your name, your son's name, Thomas, ma'am.
I know it ain't him, baby. I know it ain't him. You're not going to sit up and tell me my son is fucking kindergarten. He is not going back to that kindergarten.
Don't bring your son down here August
Listen,
the 24th.
Bring,
do you hear me?
Down. I tell you what, be ready to whip me and my husband. But we will be down there August the 4th. Backpack, shoes, uniform, everything. You hear me?
I will not be able to allow him an education.
Are you down there right now? I will come down there right now and make that correction on that paper for you.
Can you bring your
baby is not going back to no kindergarten for no coloring.
Can you bring him down here and let him color for me so I can...
No, are you talking about coloring, arithmetic, and all that stuff? No, No, I'm sorry. We will be down there August the 24th. I will have this report card in my hand that says you have been promoted to the first grade, and he's gonna have a smile on his face, and so are you.
I got one more thing I need to tell you, man. Are you listening to me?
I'm listening. You ain't saying nothing yet. You better say something that sound like the first grade, because I'm not playing. I would go down to this daggum administrative office, and I had fire because my son will be in that first grade.
Who are you raising your voice at? Who are you raising your voice
at? I'm talking to you. You're talking crazy to me. I'm talking crazy to you.
What?
I'm a grown woman. I don't need to be explaining to you why I'm trying to defend my son.
Did you graduate?
Honey, I am a college degree person. I have a great job. My husband and I do well for ourselves and for our children, and that's why we know.
You're not even at work right now, man.
Listen, I'm sick, fool. I told you that when you called here. Waiting on the doctor to call me now. I'm probably missing my phone call.
Can you color? Because your son can't color.
Can I color? What kind of question is that to ask me, can I color? What are you, white or black? You asking me something? You asking me, am I colored?
No, I ask you, can you color? Like,
no,
your son can't...
I hear some racist lines in there, can you color? No, my coloring and me being colored ain't got nothing to do with none of this. Is this a race thing?
No,
that you trying to make sure you send him back?
No, I'm not trying to send him back. I want to send him back to color, to get his coloring together.
I tell you what, that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. And if you are the head person down there now, you are incompetent and you are an illiterate. Call me and tell me that my son has to go back to the first grade.
I got one more thing.
You
know what?
Got me mixed up. I tell you what, I'm through with this conversation.
I'm through with this. I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to be out of here. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your girlfriend, Felicia.
I'm going to beat Felicia's I am going to beat her motherfucker. You're about to get towed out the frame. I mean, I'm writing numbers and everything. Man, I'm recording everything. I'm going to beat her because she know I don't play when it comes to my kids. Okay, that's all right.
All right, babe. One more question now. What is the baddest? I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby.
Did I do it right?
Man.
Oh, man.
Did I make her mad enough? I just want to know.
People's babies.
My coloring dog.
My coloring.
Now, I'm sick right now, but if I got to come down there, you're going to have some problems. They call me by some damn coloring.
That's crazy. All right.
I guess we didn't win the Powerball, huh? We here.
We're all here.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I didn't win the Powerball because I ain't. If I win the Powerball,
yeah,
I'm going to just come on here, man, and do so much cussing.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say something else.
Profound.
No, that is profound.
Let me say this.
You're going to know I got the 700 mil.
Well, okay, Tommy said he'd give us all 10 mil and give you 40, I think, because you were going to help him, you know, with the whole murder.
Fake the death fest.
I mean, not the murder, but the fake death so he can get away from his family. Crazy man.
Now you got to stay with your family. You didn't win. You understand that, huh?
But if I would have won, I would have got shot right in front of him.
So you waiting on the next drawing.
I love that. Okay. What do you guys love that so much? Because I hate it. Carl and I hate it. We both hate it.
Man, he got to find a way to leave his what he finna do, and I can't explain this to her every day.
Every day?
No, I'm going immediately to track for him.
Junior, get over here.
I've been listening to you, Junior. I'm going immediately and get me a track phone. I'm gonna buy me just about 30 track phones and use them as burners
with a flip.
Yeah, I want the flip phone.
I love the effect when you hung up on somebody.
Dog, I ain't gonna have no email, nothing.
No social media.
What?
Oh, man.
What are you talking
about? Watch me.
All right, we got to go.
I'm going to show you a show. Boy.
President Trump still at it. Hold tight. We have another strawberry letter on deck. We will be right back after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up, today's crazy strawberry letter. You definitely don't want to miss it. But our president, again, in the news, back to his old ways. Did you see him in Phoenix the other night? We've talked about this morning.
And somehow, according to Bakari Sellers, I'm responsible for this.
You need to check him, Steve.
Where are the Jim Browns? Where are the Steve Harveys?
Where's you at?
We should call him, man. Let's call him.
In front of a stadium full of supporters, he once again, this is the president now, defended his response to the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, attacked by the media, Democrats, and encouraged his supporters to boo reporters, but then called for unity.
I can't do him.
That don't sound like him to y'all, though.
And this was the crazy thing, he also hinted that he plans to pardon controversial Sheriff Joe Arpaio and once again promised to crack down on illegal immigrants and build a wall on the Mexican border.
He's still talking about that wall.
Was this a Make America Great Again?
Which is nothing but a bold lie. Yeah. That wall will never get built.
No. That's not presidential. You should be building bridges.
Yeah,
not
that's
walls.
What the Pope said.
But you know what happens is, the rally was really at a bad time for him.
That's what the mayor said. Can't you put this off? Don't do it now.
Because you know what? He had a good speech for him the day before.
About the troops in Afghanistan and everything.
It was a good speech.
Yeah, that night.
Because he read directly from the teleprompter.
Yeah, he was subdued.
Yeah, very low energy.
Low key.
But once
he
gets in front of his base,
man,
something happens to this guy.
Did you see the black guy?
I could not believe.
Oh, my God.
That's for Trump.
Who was the Indian?
He
should have
took the S off the sign.
What?
Because it's just black for Trump. It's just him.
Yeah.
And he had the sign. He was agreeing with everything. See, these rallies are so contrived.
It's staged.
Strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Then they switch out signs, and all of them had the same sign.
Yeah.
Somebody down below slides them a sign. And the black dude didn't want no sign. He didn't want his T-shirt on there. You can't really trust a black dude with a ponytail.
But you can't tell me that's not a paid gig right there.
I definitely believe
that. That's a $100,000 job. If you stand right here, we're going to pay you to hold this sign and look ignorant.
Oh, no, it ain't $100,000. Yeah,
no, not that much.
Oh, no.
But I believe he was paid, but not that much.
I think it's that much.
You said $100,000?
No,
I'm going to hold the sign.
$100,000 be sitting at all the Trump rallies.
Hold on.
Every day.
Red hat on.
Make America
Hillbilly.
He should change it to Make America Hate Again because, he's not bringing the country together with what he's doing. He's not.
Look at those
really
fake news reporters back there.
No, they're real.
They're really real. And they in your back, dog. Mm.
Yeah, it's
they
crazy.
In your back. And look at Hannity. Isn't he the greatest? Fox, I love Fox. Fox is great.
All right, nephew, come on. Let's get to this letter.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you, the strawberry letter.
Why does he pick such long letters? Jeez.
This one's long, too.
It's a good one,
Let's
though.
Get through it. Yeah, it's a good one. Subject, Albatross. Dear Stephen Shirley.
Albatross.
What does that mean, sir?
Albatross is a bird. You know that. But in this one, another meaning is that it could be like a burden to you.
Just go ahead,
you know, something weighing you down. Dear Stephen Shirley, I'm a 22-year-old black female living and working in New York City. Many people consider me to be the model of a young girl climbing her way to the top, but it seems as though even I can't escape the conundrum called the black male.
Give me one of these highlighters.
She's smart.
These big words. It's conundrum.
I mean, you know, that's a riddle or a puzzle.
You gotta explain that to me.
Anyway.
Go on. Move along. Move along.
Anyway, when I was 19, I began to date a 25-year-old man from Harlem. To me, he seemed to have a promising future as a cartoonist. He was funny, he was caring, and he accepted me in all my quirks. The problem is my parents and my friends hate him. They dislike the way that he dresses, which I can admit he needs a wardrobe update. But just because someone is not fly doesn't mean I can't see past that. My father actually said that his appearance is disrespectful. I have told him many times that my family is big on appearance, and I've asked him to please dress appropriately when he knows that he will be around my family. Recently on Thanksgiving, he came to my grandmother's house for dinner. I was appalled to see that he showed up in jeans and a t-shirt, a dingy t-shirt at that. When I confronted him about his attire, he told me that it seemed superficial to him that appearance should count so much, and that even if he were a millionaire, he would have worn the same thing to prove a point. I wanted to scream, "You are 28 and you should use common sense to realize that it is not about your point. It is about appropriateness. My parents and my friends have been pressuring me to break off my relationship with him because they feel like he is not worthy of me. But I have feelings for him. Not since Thanksgiving have I been able to have a conversation with my parents about this topic coming up, and after having it pounded into my head, I feel like it is the right/logical thing to do, but my heart is telling me different. Is there something that I am missing? Is there something about this guy that my parents can tell by looking at him that I can't see because I'm caught up? VJ. Dear VJ, okay, since we're making points, let me just make this point. Your boyfriend really needs to learn how to pick his battles, okay? Like you say, he's 28 now, which is way old enough to know that you don't go to your girl's grandmother's house on Thanksgiving and embarrass her in front of the whole family. You just don't do that. You know, because... You need to know you need to wear something appropriate. A dingy tee? Come on. I agree with your dad. It's disrespectful. He cares more about making his point, your man, than he does about making you happy. He is trying to make the case that your family only cares about what a person looks like outside. And to that, I say he couldn't be more wrong. Your boyfriend needs to know that there are rules, there are requirements, you know, when he dates you, okay? That's what your family is upset about. He just can't come in here looking like, you know, just any old kind of way. Mind you, your boy, if he's on a limited budget and all that and he can't afford all that, then that's a whole different thing. But you didn't say that, so we're not even going to go there. Because I don't think that's the case here. I think he's deliberately dressing this way out of spite. I understand you have feelings for him, but please know that if he really cared for you, he would care what you say, and he would want to make you happy and dress appropriately, especially in front of your family, okay? That's what I think you're missing in all of this. It's selfish and it's inflexible on his part.
Inflexible,
so
yes.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
That's right up there with conundrum, boy.
Oh, it is not.
What is that word again, Shirley? Shirley, say that word again.
He's inflexible. Inflexible. He wants to do it his way. He won't
that
bend.
That word,
you know,
has never come out of me and Tommy's mouth.
Okay,
that or Albatross.
But he just know that you deserve better, okay? Just know that, young lady.
Inflexible.
All right, Steve will have part two of today's Strawberry Letter coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Don't forget today, that is today at 1:30 p.m. You can join me for Strawberry Letter after the show live on Facebook. You can find me at My Girl Shirley or Shirley Strawberry. We're going to talk about today's letter. We'll talk about trending topics. We'll have a pick of the week, whatever you want to talk about. So join me today, 1:30 p.m., Facebook Live for the Strawberry Letter live after the show.
Yeah, Strawberry, 1:30, everybody, come on, let's get them out.
Thank you, Steve. Now it's your turn for part two of this letter, your response. Go ahead.
All right. Let me help you out. First of all, your boyfriend is a man. He's 28 years old. Men are very, very simple for me to figure out, because I'll tell you why. I have been one for a long time now. And ladies, men are basically the same. We are very, very simple creatures to figure out. You put emotion in with us. Emotion in with us. And it causes you unable to figure us out, because you figure in your emotional tie to this guy. And then it
deadens your senses of looking at what's really going on here. So let me hip you to yourself. First of all, young lady, you can't escape the conundrum called the black male. This ain't the black male. This is any kind of male. All men fit into the same category. Black, white, Puerto Rican, Latino, Mexican, Honduras, Ecuadorian, Peruvian, whatever. We all the same. We ain't no conundrum. We ain't none of that. If you were taking if you took the emotion out of this situation, you wouldn't even be bothered with this dude no more. See, but you are making your decisions with this emotion involved. Your parents are trying to tell you. First of all, he's 28 now. You met him at 25, so you've been kicking it with him for 3 years. This fool right here is about him. He's a cartoonist. He's funny. He's caring, all that. Your parents and friends hate him because they dislike the way he dresses. Now, your father actually said that his appearance is disrespectful. Your father is 100% correct. Because there are times when you can be disrespectful. Coming to your grandmother's house in a nasty t-shirt and some jeans is disrespectful to you as a woman that he's representing. That's as right. Her man, as your grandparents coming in her house that way, your mother and father who got to sit here and deal with this. Nobody else in your family came to grandmama's house dressed like this except this fool that you done picked as a man. You done picked the worst kind of man. You know why? Because, young lady, what you've picked now is a man that suffers from a lot of things that men suffer from. It's called foolish pride. And your man is full of foolish pride. Because this stupid dude right here is trying to tell you. You were appalled when he came to your grandmama's house. He told you that when you confronted about him, he said that... It seemed superficial to him that appearance should count so much and that even if he were a millionaire, he would have worn the same thing to prove a point. He just a damn lie. He is just a damn lie.
He'll never have a million.
The moment you become a millionaire and you black, it will reflect in every aspect that you get a chance to let it shine. I'm telling you, you don't do that. You don't do that when you broke. Hello. Can I say it correctly? There are broke black people that know how to come to dinner.
Thank you.
So you ain't got nothing to do with no millionaire. See, he don't want to let it go because of foolish pride. See, you want to scream at him that you 28, you should use common sense, that it's not about your point, it's about appropriateness. No, it ain't about his point, young lady. It's about him and nobody else. It ain't about you. And when a man cares about you or loves you, he will do some things that he's uncomfortable doing just to make you happy.
That's right.
But see, he ain't about nobody but himself. He can't even for a moment say, you know, man, this would make my girl happy if I dress better. Let me just go and buff up for my girl. But he ain't willing to do that because he is about himself.
All right, thank you, Steve, but we got to go. Email or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley, okay? And join me once again today at 1:30 p.m. on Facebook for Strawberry Live After Show. All right, Steve, she is here. Introduce our girl, Cheryl Underwood.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, troopers, Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, everybody, put your hands together for Cheryl Underwood.
Steve Harvey, you my friend. I love you. And I'm glad that you out there doing things. You everywhere. And you got the tropical storm named after you. Boy, you doing it, boy.
Is it?
What
is
Harvey.
Oh, yeah, it's called Harvey.
Here I come.
Tearing up everything.
Oh, no.
Willing and dealing. Hey, ladies, if you want to find a man, Cheryl, go to Owens Mills, Maryland. It's a barbershop called Dapper Naps Cuts and Coils.
Dapper Naps.
Every fine man in the nation was in Owens Mills, so get there as fast as you can. I'm on my way to Tampa for the Tampa Improv. Courtney Black and Kyle Irby will be stepping in for Mike Watson. He's not feeling well. Hey, Tommy,
yeah.
Steve, Junior, did y'all know that Dick Gregory talked about my kinfolk in one of his books? That's for long. Hey, speaking of shout outs, when y'all come to the Tampa Improv, I'll be talking about R. Kelly, Usher's, Bill Cosby. We're gonna talk about everybody. We're gonna shout out the Clunis. We shout out the Clunis for giving $1 million to the Southern
That's
Poverty
right.
Law Center to fight racism. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But don't forget to donate to the NAACP. We out there fighting racism, too. Now, we all going to get together, help Kaepernick get a job. But big ups to all the white players that are joining with the black players all racist
absolutely.
For coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, time for the Mayweather fight. Woo-hoo! Let me tell you how close to the fight game I am.
Hmm.
See, back in the day, I was in the center of the fight. It was the fight of the century. That's
connected.
Right. And when I lost the fight of the century, I had to go to super fight, too. Then
wait
I went
minute.
On to the
Talking
thriller
about.
Manila.
You,
people came up to me
what?
And said,
you,
Joe,
you're saying you
you'll
Joe
never
Frazier.
Be the same.
You're Joe Cheryl. Frazier, Cheryl?
Then
Cheryl
I went to the Underwood. Rumble in the Jungle, and Muhammad Ali hit me so hard,
oh
I started to sell grills. They said, George, that's a hell of
you
an farming? Idea.
I have asked you, Cheryl, not to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Cheryl, thank
thriller
you so much.
Manila gonna hit a gorilla. That's a gorilla. That's a fat gorilla right there.
Thank you, Cheryl. We love you. You know we do.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming up, Steve's thoughts on Kyrie Irving. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
In case you missed it, earlier this morning, we talked about Kyrie Irving, the big trade, and Steve had his thoughts on that.
Yeah.
And we'll replay it right now.
You a little shook.
Yeah. He's still going through. You know he loves Cleveland.
Yes.
Here it is. Check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new segment that I created just for today. This is because of the Kyrie Irving trade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
So instead of 30-something funny,
mm-hmm.
this is sugar honey iced tea that ain't funny at all. This is the sugar honey iced tea segment that ain't
right.
funny at all.
I love
all right, let's go.
I'm from Cleveland. Uh-huh. Kyrie Irving was traded
mm-hmm.
to the Boston Celtics
mm-hmm.
for Isaiah Thomas
yeah.
and Jay Crowder.
Well, somebody
and
else.
Got a first-round
yep.
pick.
And a first-round pick.
From Brooklyn.
Don't worry about Zizek. We don't even know about him.
Yeah, Zizek. That's what I'm
don't
thinking.
Don't worry about him. Don't back count back.
Oh, they just threw that in. They just
I don't even know. I don't even know. What,
we just throw another body over there.
I can't say we got him because I don't even know him. Zizek must have played on the Israeli team and just got out. And he's actually an immigrant. From parts unknown.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have no idea who he is, what he do.
No, where he came
we don't
from.
Even know if he'll never score.
We don't know nobody.
But he sound like he be.
Uh-huh.
Busy ass.
By scored, you mean scored.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
thank
what,
you.
What?
Thank, I'm just clarifying.
What, Shelby?
No.
What did you think I'm talking about?
I'm just saying.
Talking about basketball. I don't know if he's averaging 2 points. I don't know if he done hit a basket.
Point
but he sound like he's slow.
Uh-uh.
He sounds slow. Zizek don't sound like who you know Zizek sound like he got speed. His name ain't Zigzag. His name is Zizek.
Okay.
And you reverse that. He act like he gonna zigzag.
So what you think? You think this good?
Well, here's the problem with the trade. First of all, Boston did win the East.
Right.
Last year.
Because of that point guard.
Because of Isaiah.
Right.
Isaiah was the man on that team. When it got down to the playoffs, they doubled Isaiah because they didn't have another star scorer. So now Kyrie Irving's wish to be on the team and be the man has
Pain
come true.
Yeah.
He is going to be the man in Boston.
Okay.
But the problem with this is Kyrie will not be as good in Boston as he was in Cleveland because the all of the emphasis goes to LeBron. Where is he on the floor? What is he doing? And it made Kyrie a better player. Now, Kyrie is a great basketball player.
Yeah, he's good.
But going to Boston, the same thing going to happen to him that happened to Isaiah when they got to the playoffs. They're going to double him up because he doesn't have another star player on the team.
Nobody.
So now you're going to be the man, but now the first game of the new season is Boston versus Cavs.
Golly.
Whoa.
And
what?
Now you have a new problem. Kyrie got his wish to be traded. Isaiah didn't want to be traded.
Mm.
Boston, after this kid plays, after his sister passes, puts his heart and soul on the line for Boston, and then they trade him. You have now sent a player to your rival who has an attitude, a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So now you traded me.
And that's not the place to have.
No, man. When I didn't want to be traded, and you send me to the Cavaliers, who is our rival. And now we're going to face y'all to see who win the East. That guy going to be playing with another piece of information. And now he's playing with the greatest player on the planet, LeBron James.
Hasn't LeBron, like, with open arms welcomed him in?
Absolutely.
And the Cavs, which is a good thing,
they
right?
could not have made that trade without talking to LeBron. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that trade could happen. You got to go to your star and go, hey, man, we're going to give up Kyrie, but we're going to bring in Isaiah. Can you play with Isaiah? Oh, hell yeah.
Want to.
And they get Crowder, who is an animal
on defense.
Man. Oh, he fucking
man.
So now we got some more people that can check somebody at Golden State. Now, is it going to help? I don't know.
But Golden State is ugly, man.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, though. Cleveland walked away slick on this deal right here. They know they got the first. I mean, you get Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, and a first round.
And Zizuda, what's his name?
And
Zippolo.
Because when Ziploc come in.
Ziploc.
As soon we find out who the hell Ziploc is, we're going to have something to talk about. So now, here's the other point I want to make about the Kyrie Irving trade.
Because you have a lot of points.
Here's the other point.
Yeah.
I feel for Kyrie because I understand that he wants to be the man. Mm-hmm. But you got a lot of people in your ear talking about, man, you the real star on that team, man. All the credit go LeBron. You don't get none. Man, you ought to go somewhere. Your option up. Man, you ought to demand a trade so you can go be the man. Because you think everybody want to go be Russell Westbrook. But you can't be Russell Westbrook because, number one, you ain't finna do all what Russell do.
That's a gazelle.
What about teamwork, though? I mean, well,
Russell is the team.
Yeah. I'm talking about Kyrie.
But you can't win a championship with one player.
You need a team. Michael Jordan knew that.
Why would you leave a team that's been to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row? Yeah,
absolutely.
And now what's going to happen to the Cavaliers? Another opinion of mine.
Because you Cleveland. You Cleveland all the way.
I'm from Cleveland. Here's another opinion of mine. The Cavaliers now have infused and injected new blood, new energy into the system. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of that same team, they got a little bit extra now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, and something can go down. And I think the Cavaliers came out on top on this deal.
Oh, they walked away.
I think LeBron is happy on this deal.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Kyrie is happy on this deal.
What about Ziploc?
Ziploc is ecstatic that anybody is even mentioning his name.
I don't even know who he is, but I bet you his hair got a cow lick in the front. He got to.
Ziploc.
Name like Ziploc?
Let me pull him up. Let me see this kid.
Ziploc. His name is not Ziploc.
Right, what's his name, Carl?
But it ain't Ziploc.
Listen to me.
Wait a minute.
All you got to do is put in Z, NBA player. How many you think coming up?
Him.
Zizak,
Zizuzo.
Man, when black folks name you, that's it. Y'all, that's your name. Ziploc.
Is this about Ziploc or Kyrie?
It turned.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, it's time for our health and wellness segment. Look at you. I see you over there.
Yeah, of course.
We're trying to get in shape. We really are. And our special guest is your trainer. His name is Obi Obadike.
Who you doing? Asking me?
You got it right. You got it right.
Yeah, Shirley can get it right. I ain't got it right yet.
We just call him OB, right?
You ought to hear the guard at the gate, sir. We have a Obalaka.
I used to get killed all the time growing up in school. So I heard that Obi-Wan. And you always get that person that says, have you ever heard of Obi-Wan Kenobi? No, you're a genius. This is the first time I've ever heard that.
So you heard that a lot.
Oh, all the time.
Man.
So
welcome to the show, Obi.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being on the show.
What we're doing here is a fun way to encourage people, especially in the baby boomer generation, and everybody, to get up, start moving, get yourself together, take care of yourself, how to avoid rust, how to lose weight the right way, how it can be done and done without high impact. Because a lot of people don't like a lot of videos because it's high impact. So I've been working with this guy. We are entering week what now?
This is week four.
This is week four.
How's he doing, man?
Steve Harvey is, he's a killer.
Yeah?
He's a killer. The man has lost 8 pounds in 3 weeks. And what I love about Steve working with him is that he wants it so bad. He's like Kobe Bryant. I remember when Ahmad Rashad was saying who is better, Kobe or LeBron, and Michael Jordan went with Kobe because of the will. He wants it so bad. And Steve wants it so bad, so a lot of times I got to save himself from himself.
Well, I want
to
get
out of your own way.
Well, what it is, I want this fact. Well, he ain't saying I was like Kobe.
It's the will. It's the will to win.
But you was thinking Kyrie, huh?
Yeah, you know, anybody said I look like Kobe.
Kyrie.
It's the desire to win, the desire to succeed. When I'm giving him a workout and I'm saying, yo, Steve, okay, we're going to do a plank for 30 seconds. Uh-huh. Steve's going to end up doing it for 40, 45. And I'm like, Steve, the set is done. But he's still going.
But I want to get this fat off my ass now.
That's
you lost 8 pounds. That's good. I want to back up just for a second and find out how you guys met. How'd you find
OB? On my talk show, I had Morris Chestnut came on as a guest.
Oh, yes,
and he was
remember.
Promoting this book called The Cut. Well, the guy on the other cover of the book is Obi. And they first, Morris Chestnut came out. Then on the second segment, he bought his trainer.
That was Carla.
See right there.
I forgot.
You couldn't help that.
What's up, Tosh? Do you not have to shout out to my husband?
Yeah.
Junior?
Well, when you gasp like that.
This is my job.
No, it wasn't no gas.
Wasn't that bad, Shirley?
Yeah.
You're good, girl.
So Morris came out. He sat and talked. He got in great shape, shoot this movie.
Uh-huh.
And then he bought his trainer out.
Okay.
And his trainer walked out, and he had a six-pack that showed through his shirt.
Through the shirt.
As he's doing
now.
It's actually painted abs, by the way. It's not real.
Yeah, right.
I bought this.
I don't know how much a can of paint cost. So anyway, I sat there and I met him, and so we started talking. So I told him, after the season was over and I was going to move to L.A. and everything. Yeah.
Get them abs.
Yeah.
For the gram.
Yeah, this is for the baby boomers.
And so, anyway, I just said when I come back from my vacation and I moved to L.A., I'd like to contact you. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back off the boat, and I spent a week doing my last, hoorah. I came off the boat, I weighed 244. So I'm down to 236 because I lost 3 pounds the first week, 2 pounds the second week, 3 pounds the third week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it the right way. It isn't water weight, it's real fat.
How many days a week?
Steve right now is training 4 days a week. And because he has a limited amount of time, he has about an hour a day to train. So we do 30 minutes of high-intensity weight training, then 30 minutes of high-intensity cardio.
That's the cardio.
And so people have to understand is that when you're doing high-intensity weight training, what that does, it allows you to burn calories after the workout. So when you're resting, when he's resting, he's burning calories.
Oh, gotcha.
So the intensity is going to
dictate
that.
So you're burning calories
right now. Boy, I'm slimming right now.
Okay, so Obadiah, let me ask you this here.
It's Obi.
I'm sorry.
But you can call me Obi-Wan Kenobi because everyone else does.
Just Obi.
I didn't know it was Obi or Obadiah.
Obi.
Okay. So let me ask you this, man. Tell me what 30, when you say intense 30 minutes of the weight training, just give me an example.
Well, let me say this, because Tommy's the runner on our show.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. He likes to run.
We ain't never seen him run,
He eats crazy.
Now, the 30 minutes depends on who you are of intensity. Everybody's intensity level different, but you can tell them what we do.
Go ahead, Oscar.
So basically, in a nutshell, let's say, for example, like today we did shoulders and back. So I'll have Steve do one set of standing shoulder dumbbell press, one set of standing dumbbell rows. So we're going back and forth. Just basically shoulders and back and forth. So he'll do shoulders, and then he'll go back to back, then he'll do shoulders and back to back, and he'll do like 3 to 4 sets with each body part.
Nonstop.
Nonstop. Sometimes he does rest. Sometimes when he's, I would say like after the first set of shoulders and back, he might rest about 25 to 30 seconds. But what's amazing is that we're in week 4, and his endurance is no joke.
Right.
I mean, it's increased dramatically.
So is he going to look like Morris Chestnut when he's done?
Hell no.
Let me tell you something.
What, Obi?
Let me tell you something. I'm going to make a guarantee right now.
Okay.
I guarantee you that his stomach is going to be super flat by the end of this year. I guarantee you.
By the end of this year?
I guarantee you.
Everybody in here don't
know
it.
By the end of this year, he's going to have a super flat stomach.
Look at it. Look at it. Hold on. Otis, let me tell you something.
His name is Obi.
Let me tell you something, Otis. Let me tell you something. You know who you're dealing with?
Steve didn't tell you his nephew was stupid, right?
You guys are not rolling with it, Obi.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I'm committed to this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it done so I can show everybody out there that's 60 that you can do it too. I do low impact. The high intensity I do is because I work hard anyway.
Yeah, I hear your voice. I see Morris Chestnut, though. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, as I look at you. I hear your voice. I see. we'll be back.
We'll be back with Omar.
His name is Obi.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are with Obi, Steve's trainer, and Steve Harvey, now, a.k.a. Okay. Morris.
All right, now listen.
Morris.
This is to encourage people to get involved.
Okay.
To start moving. Uh-huh. High intensity for me, maybe high intensity for a different person is different.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. As long as you operate on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're putting out a 5 effort, mm-hmm. you're doing good enough to lose weight. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You have to people need to understand living a sedentary lifestyle. Research has shown it's equivalent to smoking. To smoking.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
So you, I'm serious. You
what?
Have to move.
Let me get up.
If you just get up and move, do you know how much influential that is to your health? So just getting up and move. If you're sitting 10 to 12 hours a day,
that is
totally, it's negatively impactful to your health. If you want to live a long life, you got to move.
What about diet? Have we talked about diet at all?
Nutrition.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, nutrition is 60 to 70% of the battle. And so what we're doing with Steve is that we're going through more a balanced approach where we're having the fruits, the veggies, the fish, the chicken, the beef, the steak, the complex carbs, the sweet potatoes, the brown rice, the healthy fats, the avocados. And he has the ability to indulge with a pizza sometimes. Ooh. Sometimes he might have a fish taco. So indulging is important. I would say 10 to 20% of the time indulging. So you're cheating 80. You're eating healthy 80% of the time, and you're cheating indulging 20% of the time.
Let me ask you this. How late do you eat? What's your cutoff time at night?
Okay. Now we're going to debunk this myth right now.
Okay.
We're going to debunk this myth. Yeah. Everybody thinks that if you eat after 7 o'clock, you're going to gain weight. That's a bunch of BS.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't matter. It is about the amount of calories you consume. So let's just say, for example, you had 2 meals within the day, and your third meal was after 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay as long as you're within your moderate caloric range. So it doesn't matter the time of the day.
Let me explain to you.
Go ahead.
I eat my last meal late at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get home.
Then I get home late.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, what is your last meal?
So my last meal last night was I had ribeye steak, brown rice, and I had some stir-fried vegetables.
Okay.
That's what I had last night. So I had a steak.
Mm-hmm. That sounds healthy.
Some brown rice and some stir-fried vegetables.
Now, if you'd have had a baked potato all the way, that'd have been wrong, right?
No. He's had baked potatoes.
Oh, I've had baked potatoes.
He's had carbs with every single meal, and he's still losing weight.
See, look, man, because what I learned was carbs is not the enemy.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
It's how much of it you eat and the type of carbs.
And the types of carbs.
Now, if you're going to eat a donut from Krispy Kreme, 6 of them. Mm-hmm. You, I'm sorry.
Prepare to blow up.
Yeah, man. Because at the end of the day, rule number one I've learned, you cannot out-train a bad diet.
You can't.
Mm.
But there are a lot of really delicious foods that you can eat that will just allow you to lose weight if you eat the right foods. Okay. You just got to give up some of the bad stuff so you can live. I'd rather live.
Absolutely. Yeah. Live healthy. Yeah.
And you'd be you'd be surprised when you have so many different options to eat where it doesn't even feel like you're eating healthy anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, we're going to have Obi on, you know, every now and then to come on the show and help people get started. I'm going to show you my weight loss. I'm going to show you some of my workouts, and I'm going to show you the meals that I'm eating. I just want to encourage everybody to get in shape. Obi will be with us next time, folks. We'll be right back. Steve Harvey Morning Show. Woo! Get healthy.
Hey, Obi.
You all
right?
Man. Othello, you
hey,
good?
Hey, Morris Chestnut. Othello.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. It's all about the gram these days. You guys hear about this story. The wife of Treasury Secretary, the new wife, I should say, that just got married earlier this year. Steve Mnuchin, he's the Treasury Secretary. His wife, she has apologized for her inappropriate and highly insensitive comments on social media. Her name is Louise Linton. She posted a picture of herself on Instagram that showed her with her husband now walking off a government plane and flaunting her wealth as she added hashtags for each designer article of her outfit. You saw that?
Yeah, I saw
that. Okay, she was heavily criticized on social media, especially by one woman who wrote, glad we could pay for your little getaway, hashtag deplorable. Now, Mrs. Linton fired back with a lengthy post in which she attacked the woman and boasted about her wealth. She then changed her Instagram, after some people got to her. She changed her Instagram account to private so that the woman couldn't respond. Linton is a 36-year-old actress who married Mnuchin earlier this summer, has issued an apology through her publicist saying, I apologize for my post on social media yesterday, as well as my response. It was inappropriate and highly insensitive. Yes, it was, because she was like flaunting.
She looked good now.
Don't get me wrong.
She looked fly.
Yeah, she looked really good. But come on now. You got to be mindful of that when you marry, you know, politicians and public figures and stuff. Yeah. You know, you got to be mindful of the people who vote. Again, she looked good. No shade or anything like that. But
I'm throwing shade.
But you know, but you can't say nothing about yourself no more. You can't say
not getting off a government plane. You can.
Nah, that wasn't smart.
No, it wasn't.
If you're getting off your plane,
do you?
And what are you responding for? I mean, just let it go.
Yeah,
you know,
you're responding to citizens who pay taxes.
Yeah.
Especially black folk, we respond differently to stuff like that.
Yeah,
well,
but
the clapback is different.
Yeah. You're rich, Mitch.
What the hell you think you're talking to? Well, what the hell I want to wear whenever the hell I want to wear.
Yeah, exactly. Basically.
Hey, ain't that...
With the clapback emoji,
man.
It gets real.
He cannot say that up.
I mean, and the situation is different. I mean, Steve, you and Marjorie always fly all over the world, but that's quite different
than the wife
of a public figure, of a politician, and all of that. You know what I mean? And we like to see that. We do.
I like to see the shine.
Yeah, we do.
I'm not benefiting from any government funding.
Exactly.
Right. You're not on a government
plane. You're not doing it.
Our ass got to pay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Clearly, they ain't sending nothing to the house for your big heart. And I go to work. And I work really, really hard. I don't know what else I should do.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You know, but I don't care why you do it. You know, Marjorie and I will post something because she's into social media because she's building a brand for the Lady Loves Couture because she's working on her business. Mm-hmm. And she's coming out with a new business this year. Hey, man, you know, if we take a picture of us, it's going to look like it's stunting.
All right, we'll be back. Coming back with just one more thing, talking about Samuel L. Jackson and Magic Johnson.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, a couple of your rich friends, a couple of friends to the show and family members to the show. We love them. We're talking about one Magic Johnson and Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel.
They were mistaken for some lazy migrants. What?
What?
Yeah, the two are currently enjoying an Italian vacation with their wives, Cookie and, of course, LaTanya, respectively, Cookie Johnson, LaTanya Richardson.
And?
They're celebrating Magic's 58th birthday and Sam's.
And the Palmers.
And they're also celebrating Sam's wedding anniversary.
Ah!
Magic even posted a picture of him and Sam chilling after a Louis Vuitton and Prada shopping spree. Ooh, nice. The photo went viral on Twitter after one user made a meme in Italian that translated to Boldrini's resources in Fortade Marmi shop at Prada with our 35 euros. Share this picture if you are outraged. Okay, so.
What's that mean?
I don't know what that means exactly. Let me find out.
Whose Instagram was it on?
This was on Magic's Instagram. He posted a picture of him, and he posted a picture of Sam. They're just chilling, you know, doing a shopping spree. So then it went viral, and a Twitter user, he was Italian. He posts, whatever this means, Boldrini's resources in Fortaday Marmi shop at Prada with our 35 euros. Share this picture if you're outraged. Several Italians shared the meme showing their disgust over Italy's immigration laws for refugees. So they thought that Sam...
The hell they got to do
Yeah, they thought that Sam and Magic, I guess, were some Italian immigrants coming over. Refugees.
They don't look Italian at all.
At all.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. Uh-huh. Them the richest damn refugees.
Okay.
Your you ass have ever ran up into.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, whatever you thinking about them right there, they could really buy your ass. So you need to take your little ass on somewhere. Because you're messing with some cats right there. I'm looking at this picture.
Yeah. Eventually, the man who shared the meme apologized because he knew they were celebrities since he'd lived in the U.S.
Oh, so why
why'd you do it in the first place?
And say, I'm going to whoop your ass.
Yeah. And you don't know.
No, at minimum, you're going to get cussed out.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know how many.
Bottom line.
Who put this picture on the M? Blanking Instagram. Yeah.
You talk about, hey, man, Sam, let me tell you what. Sam. We're all in Portofino, Italy.
Yeah, because you've been over here, Steve, with all this.
Yeah, I see him out there sometimes. Right. But we were all supposed to go together. Uh-huh. All of us were supposed to go on the trip together with different, you know, modes of transportation. Mm-hmm. And Magic got the job with the Lakers, so he had to postpone his trip from August 1st to September 1st.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Marge and I went on, like we always do, our anniversary. So we all supposed to go to 18th to the 18th. Magic couldn't go. Boom. So we couldn't change our plans. We went. We met over there. We were over there one time. We in a restaurant, leader's restaurant called Poonies in Portofino.
Poonies.
And I'm walking with Magic and John Palmer and Samuel Jackson. Sam don't give a damn about you.
That rhymes,
so,
you know.
Hey, Rick, excuse me, can I take a picture? So we said, all right. So me, Sam, Magic taking a picture. And the dude is struggling getting his eye. He said, say, man, take the MFing picture, man. Yeah. And I'm looking at Sam like, hey, Sam, come on, man. So, okay.
He's more irritated than you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So then we walk a little bit further, and this guy comes up and says, I'm taking a picture. Sam said, no, you're not. So then the dude said, I'm taking a picture. Sam said, what's the magic word, MF? Now the dude in Italian is sitting there, and he goes, he said, MF, what's the magic word?
Yes.
And so he's saying that. He said, it's please, MF. That's the MF and magic word. Now take the MF and picture. Man, the dude was so shook, he was shaking. I'm standing there, my mouth open, taking this picture with Sam. I'm going, is that how you handle it? Because I've been doing this all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm trying to comply, you know, taking breaths. Man, these people take it too long.
Sam ain't a good example for you.
No, man. Sam Jackson.
Oh, man.
Sam Jackson, do Sam Jackson.
I love it.
And be on the boat just as chill.
Yeah.
Coolest dude, man. I love him, man.
Love
He's
him.
Honest. He works hard.
He's got some movies under his belt.
Oh, my God. That movie in America right now, right?
Yeah. Sam has.
Oh, the Hitman's Bodyguard. Mm.
Sam has done more movies than anyone in the history
of film. Yes, he has. Mm-hmm. I believe
it.
Man.
He's number one for movies. Also, Sam Jackson goes, hey, man, I'm on vacation. This is my vacation. I ain't come out here to work.
Yeah.
Don't care
how can you not love him?
I'll be talking to them people. I'll be going, Sam, he can hear you. I'm talking to this MF.
Can you just get Sam Jackson on the phone? Just have him call me an MF. Just for me.
You go tear him.
You call him on the phone. He don't know your number. You finna be there.
Whether you want it or not.
He smacked that ball too, huh, man?
Oh, golf?
Yeah, I heard
he
had a lot of golf.
Yeah.
He's good.
Oh, man.
Great
I've
guy.
I've only played golf with him once. Mm.
I've been doing this all wrong.
I said, man.
I like that.
What have we learned today?
Take the MF and picture. That's what we learned.
The magic word is please.
Kyrie Irving.
We've learned that.
We learned how to get in shape.
How to get in shape, how to start. Yeah.
And, Unc, I got to tell you this, too. The Built soap, man. Let me, Unc.
My husband loves it.
What's up, man? I got ready to ask y'all.
My husband loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves it. He wanted to say
See,
it.
See, nothing like having a whole ball in your hand. that you can just wash with. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to worry about whole bar, fill your hand up, and it smells great, man.
The big bar?
Yeah. Thank y'all, man. I bought the staff in some samples of the new soap that's in Walmart called mm-hmm. Built. Mm-hmm. And it's built for men. Because I thought that men would want to try a product that smell like something a man will wear, but sound like it, too. Mm-hmm. Don't a man want to just go, duh. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Prohibition.
Yeah, I got real.
And in the words of Sam, I want some
that's
NFL
it for the day?
Yeah.
That's it? That's the end of the day?
Yeah, that's
folks,
it.
Folks, have yourself a great weekend.
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Body Built Soap today and wear it for the weekend.
For the fight.
Yeah, have your built on for the fight.
Mayweather.
And don't bet money, bet built.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.